Thank you. Thanks, everybody. So, my name's Kelly. I'm an alcoholic. Nice to meet you all. So my journey started in recovery properly anyway, which I'll come on to about 12, 13 years ago. I lose track of the time, and that's because I've relapsed quite a lot over that time. So, and my since I came into recovery, when I first came in 12, 13 years ago approximately, and that was in Newcastle, in the northeast of England. And I would just say the recovery there is amazing. And I'm so glad, I found, I got sober in Newcastle. But I was one of these people, I just, that's not the right way to say it, really, one of these people, but I was really enthusiastic and embraced the program. And my very first meeting I had what I would class as my spiritual awakening. And what I mean by that is, I'd went to AA. I'm 47 now, but I'd went to AA 17 years ago when I was 30, to be first of all, in Middlesbrough, where I'm from originally. And I looked for the similarities. Sorry, I looked for the differences and not the similarities. And my pattern of drinking is binge drinking. So I didn't drink every day. I didn't, it wasn't a 24/7 drinker yet. I was probably heading towards that. But when I first went to Middlesbrough, I just it just didn't, it wasn't the right time for me. And then, I sort of went back out again for a number of years and then found recovery in Newcastle. But that first meeting in Newcastle, I heard my story, and there was people in that meeting that I could relate to. Younger people binge drinking, could put it down but couldn't stop, and it just clicked for me. And as I said, I would say that's when I had my first spiritual awakening. And what I mean by that is, it's the first time in my life I felt I wasn't on my own. And I felt I've never had a problem believing in God. I'm not a religious God. I haven't been brought up religious or anything, but I've just always had a inner knowing. I've always felt it in my heart and soul that there's something, a higher power. I do call my higher power God, today. And so that didn't put me off whatsoever. But I remember that after the first meeting, going back home in my little flat in Newcastle and just feeling like a weight had been lifted off my shoulders. And as I said, the first time in my life I felt like I didn't have to do life on my own anymore, and I wasn't the only one, struggling with drink and everything else. And so I embraced the program. I was so enthusiastic. I did everything was suggested, got the sponsor, went through the steps, the meetings, but I relapsed after I was coming up almost 2 years. And what I did is, which I didn't realise I was doing this at the time, it was only on reflection, when I looked at why I was relapsing, because I've relapsed many more times after that. What I'd do is I'd embrace it in that first year and do everything that was suggested. And then the second year, I'd take my foot off the gas, really. Stop going to meetings, didn't really phone, my sponsor, did things that, this is my experience. I've had to learn the hard way. I've had to make some, I didn't do everything that was suggested. I didn't do everything that was suggested, and that ultimately for me ended in relapses. So it got to nearly 2 years of sobriety, and I remember feeling and thinking around that time, this is the best I've ever felt in my life. This is the best I've ever felt mentally, emotionally, spiritually. Did a big presentation at work and thought, do you know what? My problem isn't drink. My problem isn't drink. My problem is I wasn't mentally well, and now the program's fixed me so I can drink again. And that's what I thought. And I drank again. And then, cut a long story short, because I want to get on to more recovery, I did that three times over. So I got to nearly 2 years, another two times. So three times I got to nearly 2 years and relapsed. It's like, something around the 2 years. But I repeated that pattern three times in total. And I describe my recovery a bit like a board of snake and ladders. I almost get there just to that 2 year mark, and then I relapsed again. And this time round, so I've been sober 3 years now, for the first time in 12, 13 years. I went back to basics. Thank you. I went back to basics and I got a new sponsor. I thought I need to do something different. What I've been doing isn't working. I had the same sponsor that entire time before my new sponsor now, and I need to go back to basics. And it was really, really painful, even though I'd done an awful lot of groundwork already. Really, really painful. And the reason it was, what I didn't realize, and I don't know if you can relate to this, but what I was doing is I was putting the drink down and picking other things up. I was picking other things up. So I was picking up jobs, relationships, other distractions, and I still wasn't dealing with life on life's terms. And I still wasn't mentioned healing there. I didn't heal from a lot of stuff that I'd gone through. I was still avoiding it. So I was bringing all these other distractions in and getting addicted to those so I could avoid emotional and mental pain. And I was going, I'd do anything to avoid it. And when I went back through the steps with my new sponsor now, which we did in great depth and detail and very thoroughly, I went through a lot of emotional pain so I could heal because I'd never done that before. And today I live in the steps. I live in the program. And what I didn't realize is that my character defect. I didn't really understand character defects up until this last 3 years going through the steps again. I didn't really understand them. And I realize now how much they've been driving me my entire life. So my over how oversensitive I can be, an overthinker, fear, anxiety, a big one, ego, massive ego, low self-esteem, fear. I didn't realize how much these character defects were a big part of who I am and how I tick. I realized that I was using the drink to self-medicate for a while until I got a problem on top of the problem, which was the alcohol abuse, on top of the problem, which is I don't generally cope with my feelings and thoughts very well and deal with life on life's terms very well until now, until I've got the, now I work a program. Now I've got, gosh, a really, ri I mean, on a more really rigid routine. Every day I pray, I take about 2 hours out every day religiously, and I'm really quite disciplined. And this is because, I have relapsed quite a lot, and I really don't want to go there again. So now I do everything that's suggested. Not perfectly, of course not. I'm human, but I do. I listen to my, I listen to my sponsor. I phone my sponsor nearly every week, 3 years in, sometimes a couple of times a week. I didn't used to do that. I'm an empath, I'm a rescuer. I used to distract myself with other people. I'd focus on everybody else so I didn't have to look at me. And now when I'm struggling, I lean in, I lean in, and that's massive for me, absolutely massive. So today, yeah, I'm very, I feel a very close conscious contact with my higher power, God. And as I say, I pray and meditate every morning. And sometimes if I can't get a meditation in, I'll always pray, always pray. And that's key for me as well, handing over and not trying to do it all my way, and having that, feeling the weight of the world on my shoulders. And I can still, my default position, is still, when I don't feel, when I'm stressed, due to work or personal life or whatever it may be, I can be running on self-will again, and I can feel it. I can feel it when I'm becoming unwell again. And I just have to pause. I've learned that as well through the program. I just have to pause and take a step back. And my self-care today is key. I'm this moment in time in my life, I'm probably going through the toughest in the physical world, I call it, probably the toughest thing I've ever gone through, and I'm going through, which is my mum's dying of cancer. And it's tough. it's really, really tough. It's really tough. And we, at the hospital all the time, and she's just had chemo and that didn't go well. And so in the physical world, it's tough. But thank God, through the program, but through me working the program, I'm in the best place mentally, spiritually, and emotionally to be able to deal, to manage this, and to be there. I can be there for. I live around that. I was saying earlier, I moved. I think this was God's plan, not my plan. But I literally live around the corner now from my parents. That wasn't part of my plan, but I'm here, and I'm just so grateful and glad that I am, because I can be there and I'm sober and it's not all about me. I can remember Mum being ill when I was still drinking many years ago. She had lots of health problems over the years, bless her. And I can remember drinking when she was in hospital then with something called encephalitis, which is inflammation of the brain, really quite serious. And it was a big drama, all about me, woe is me, feel sorry for me. Look what's going on with me and my mum, and it's not like that. I can just be there for my dad, for my mum, and they don't have to, they don't have to worry about me drinking. My mum said to me recently, because she could see I was struggling, I get good days and days where I'm really struggling, and she said, please, Pet, don't, I'd die if you went, but please don't go back on the drink type thing. I was like, Mum, I won't. But the thing is, I have relapsed a number of times over these 12, 13 years, and today I do. So every other time that I've relapsed, I've always thought, right, I won't do that again. I don't do that now. I don't do that now. I just go just for today. Just for today. I'm not having, just keeping it in the day. And there's lots of people around me, and I'm sure you probably experienced this yourself, that have had, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, and relapse. So for me, I have to be vigilant. I have to be vigilant. I can't cherry pick, which I used to. I was quite selfish. I'd do the bits I liked of the program, and the other bits I'd leave. I didn't give it away to keep it, previously. I do now. I do now today. I've got a sponsee, and yeah, as I say, I do everything, I do everything that's suggested. And I think the biggest thing for me is, that after that last relapse at the time, that the volume of alcohol I drank wasn't nowhere near what I used to drink. It was for a couple of days, and it was, I don't know, three bottles of wine. It was nowhere near what I used to drink. The consequences of having a drink was, nothing happened. I didn't lose my job or anything like that. I was spiritually bankrupt inside, and I remember saying, at that point, maybe I'll have to die an alcoholic, because it's not, nothing's working for me. And if there's anybody on this meeting, that is struggling or has relapsed or struggled with relapse, and in my experience, I just kept coming back, and just, and then just try to do something different, do something different, which, as I say, was getting a different. My old sponsor became my best mate. There wasn't that sponsor-sponsee relationship there, where there's that real sponsor-sponsee relate, and I need that. But as my first sponsor used to say to me when I used to phone up and say, I've done it again, I've relapsed again, she'd say, Kelly, while you've got a breath in you, there's always hope. While you've got a breath in you, there's always hope. And that just gave me so much, sort of encouragement, to keep, to keep going. And I remember, it's funny actually, you mentioned Ian. I know Ian really well, and he said to me the last time, I heard somebody swearing earlier, so and he said to me, when I came, because he's seen me relapse a number of times, and the last time I relapsed, he said to me, get a fucking new sponsor, get a fucking new sponsor, stop messing about. And I was like, right. And I listened to him, so I thank him for that. I thank him for that, because it has been a game changer. It really has been a game changer for me. And my sponsor isn't in Australia. She lives in Australia, because it was lockdown. It was all on Zoom. And thank God for Zoom. I love Zoom. I love it. So I go to Zoom meetings in London, three times a week. and secretary for I've been secretary a few times for one of those meetings, and love it. So I'm a big fan of Zoom, and it's you know it's it, it was a, again a lifesaver at that time for me when I'd you know when I'd relapsed. And and as I say, you know, it's I'm just so glad I kept coming back, and just and there's nothing else. There's nothing else that has worked for me. And even though I kept relapsing, I'd never ever everything else I'd tried in the past, Buddhism, counselling, you know, the longest I ever went with anything else was, you know, 4 months maximum. So I knew this did work. I just needed to work it. I just wasn't honest with myself. I wasn't honest. I was saying I was working it, but I wasn't. It was bullshit. You know, now I put the graft in, and now I do, you know, I have to put this first. I have to. Have to. So last week I was stressed, really, really stressed with what's happening, you know, with mum at the moment. I had to take a week off work. I had to take a week off work and self-care, up my self-care, you know, lean into the program. And, you know, I've cried on meetings, I've cried to my sponsor, you know, and just be vulnerable. And I've, you know, have the humility to say, I'm struggling, I need help, can't do this on my own, you know. And I did try and do it on my own. That was the other thing. When I look back, when I was relapsing, I did. I was trying to do it on my own, so I thought I knew best. The ego thought I knew best, you know. So I'm going to leave it there. I hope you've got something from that, and nice to meet you all. Thank you.